Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is the Whispering Woods Extra. This extra is all about...
more dogmen.
Yeah, more dogman stories.
Yeah, dogman.
So I've got three sort of separate parts to this episode. And some of them have like stories attached to them as well. So like two of them have two parts, but they're all together. It'll make more sense when you actually hear it. But first of all, I have to give a very special shout out to Sin. Now, Sin emailed me a couple of days ago. Was it yesterday, day before? We all know what my brain's like, so I can't actually remember. She said, love you guys. As a lifelong resident of Michigan, I had to write in to tell you, the way you say Michigan sends me, lol. It's cute, but not accurate. It's said with more of a shh, like Michigan. Love your pod and accents though. A real joy to listen to. Keep it up, Sin. Thanks so much, Sin. I'm just going to try and get this into my brain. Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan. Did you say Michigan? Do you say Michigan?
I don't
as well?
Say Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I don't really say American words, like. But if I were to say it, I'd say Michigan.
But it is the CH.
Yeah, that's how they say it, isn't it?
Okay.
Like Michigan. I'm pretty sure it is anyway.
Or keep you.
I just like, I watch a lot of movies.
But Sid,
and
thank
so
you.
You've been watching it.
Yeah, I think my brain kind of knew somewhere, but it just like filters over stuff. But thank you, Sid. Michigan is now committed to my brain and hopefully it will stay there. Yeah. Right, are you ready? For the first story.
Yes, I am.
The Beast of Cannock Chase. To unravel the mystery of the Cannock Chase Beast, we must journey back in time to the year 1727, in a quaint village outside Staffordshire, England. It's rumoured that a young boy was brutally murdered. His lifeless body bore the unmistakable marks of an attack by a fearsome beast, fangs and claws tearing through his throat and chest while he still drew breath. But this was no isolated incident. The same location had witnessed other similar assaults before, and ominous whispers hinted at more to come. Fast forward to the 18th century, where a shepherd named Thomas Bateman found himself on a moonlit path near Cannock Chase in the English Midlands. What he encountered that night defied reason. Two ferocious werewolves locked in a savage battle. Their coal-black fur, extended claws, and menacing teeth were forever scarred into his memory. One of the creatures ultimately prevailed, vanquishing its adversary before melting into the shadows. A century later, another chilling encounter unfolded. Two witnesses watched in horror as their friend was attacked by what appeared to be a wolf. But the transformation that followed defied all logic. The wolf morphed into a man right before their eyes, and so began a series of sightings that echoed through history. The Cannock Chase werewolf is rumoured to have haunted the area for generations. Standing approximately 7 feet tall, this creature possesses a human-like face and hands, a stark departure from the typical lupine features. Reports of its existence have flooded in over the past decade, with some claiming to have glimpsed it while driving along the darkened roads at night. Recent encounters. A Cannock resident described witnessing a creature with the head of a wolf and the body of a man strolling through their garden during a July evening. Two men driving on the Cannock Chase Road reported seeing something bigger than a bear. The beast was covered in fur and had glowing red eyes. Notably, another witness came forward with what they believed was photographic evidence. They'd captured an image of something moving through the woods during the daytime. The mystery of Castle Ring. Castle Ring, a large circular earthwork within Cannock Chase, has intrigued both historians and paranormal enthusiasts. Its origins date back to approximately 600 BC, although no definitive archaeological evidence supports this claim. First recorded by William Camden in 1607, Castle Ring has become a focal point for those fascinated by its alleged connection to werewolf sightings. The Cannock Chase Post, a local newspaper, entertains an intriguing hypothesis. Could the werewolf sightings be remnants of an ancient past, specifically an underground Stone Age throwback? According to this theory, these creatures may have thrived for centuries in the old mines and caves beneath the hills of Cannock Chase. Perhaps they emerge only at night, venturing to the surface to hunt local deer among the Stone Age barrows and earthworks. There have been many cases of domestic pet disappearances in the area, particularly near to the old German War cemetery. The beast of Cannock Chase has been roaming the forest for centuries. If you're determined to see it for yourself, don't go looking for it on just any night of the month. It's said that on certain days of the year, like Halloween and New Year's Eve, you can see the werewolf's glowing eyes and even smell its stench.
Yeah, they got some mad stuff going on there.
They have. We are going to head up to Cannock Chase one day. We're going to sit there all night until we see something.
All right.
Either the beast or the black-eyed girl.
All right.
There are some other things out there as well. And one day we will do a whole episode about it with video footage because we will be there.
I just want to find the Sam's Crunch.
Yeah, I think they might have one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because I want it to be as meat, innit?
Of course you do, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to sit down and share a cup of tea together.
Yeah.
Also, that from... This is just my recollection, which is hazy. That dogman beast werewolf of Cannock Chase, it might actually be Old Stinker. And Old Stinker's been around for donkey's years, and we covered him in one of our other episodes about werewolves. Right, are you ready for the second story?
Yes, I am.
In the shadowed areas of French, Canadian and American folklore, the Loup Garou, also known as the Roux Garou, lurks. The very name, Loup Garou, resonates with intrigue. Derived from French, it combines loup, meaning wolf, and garou, referring to a man who can transform into a wolf. Essentially, the Loup Garou embodies the essence of a werewolf, and it roams the dense forests and murky swamps, particularly haunting the greater New Orleans and Acadiana regions. Its presence is both eerie and primal. Within Cajun folklore, the Loup Garou serves as a dual purpose. It's the stuff of bedtime tales, whispered around flickering fires to keep wide-eyed children in check. These stories carry a moral weight, teaching proper behaviour and respect for the unknown. The Loup Garou, in its lupine form, becomes an enforcer of divine justice. It hunts down those who defy the sacred observance of Lent, a 40-day period of repentance, fasting, and preparation for Easter. Catholic Christians who neglect these solemn rules find themselves in the creature's crosshairs. The Loup Garou curse. French Catholics believe that 7 consecutive years of Lenten rule-breaking lead to the transformation. The curse descends upon the defiant, reshaping them into the wolf-headed wanderer. An alternative belief attributes the metamorphosis to a potent spell. And then once cursed, the Loup Garou remains in its lupine form for precisely 101 days. During this time, it seeks out others, drawing their blood to pass on the curse. Some tales tell of individuals driven by a primal longing or a desperate desire for power, invoke therianthropy, the ancient ability to shift between human and animal forms. The Loup Garou's origins trace back to medieval France, where legends intertwined with moonlit nights and superstitions. Over centuries, the myth migrated across oceans, blending with Native American influences and local beliefs. My great-grandmother always used to tell a story about a werewolf-like creature called the Loup Garou. At some point in her life, according to the version my grandpa used to tell me, his mum lived along the Sabine River and had some friends over one night for supper. My great-grandmother lived in a house out in the woods, a short distance from town, and everyone was about ready to start heading back. It was past dark, but not too late, and the guests were just starting to say their goodbyes when a wailing howl shattered through the stillness of the woods. Everyone inside the house just froze, and one of the women uttered that it was the Loup Garou. They started shutting the windows and locking the doors because it was believed that the creature couldn't get inside a locked house. After a short time, and all the house was locked down, my great-grandmother and her guests gathered in the front room and kept out of view. From the woods again rose a piercing howl, and the sounds were much closer now. As they all huddled in the living room, a heavy form stepped up onto the porch, the weight of its massive body straining the wooden planks. It walked past the door, jiggling the lock knob, and its heavy breath fogged up the window panes as the beast stepped into the bright beams of the moonlight. It looked inside, but the people just stayed still. The creature let out a mighty howl, one that my grandpa said still made my great-grandmother tremble years afterwards. And then it left and vanished back into the woods. The dinner party were so frightened that they all just ended up staying the night. In the morning, there were giant footprints in the mud around my great-grandmother's house, long claws sticking out from each of the toes. Her being single at the time, my great-grandmother didn't stay in the house much longer. She moved into town, and from there into the Houston area. That's the story I used to hear from my grandpa. They have some really interesting folklore in Canada around that region. So they have this kind of bogeyman, but I know that you don't call it that, do you?
It's the boogeyman, isn't
it? The boogie. Remember what I called it? The boogeyman.
I don't know.
Boogie. The boogeyman. The bogeyman. The
boogeyman.
As we call it.
The boogie dance.
We call it in England. In Britain. Yeah, they have one. And I think it's called something like the 7 o'clock man. Even that name sounds scary, but you know it was
7 o'clock.
To frighten kids to get into bed before 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at that at some point, the 7 o'clock man, because I love it. I love the sound of that. Yeah, so spooky, spooky. Are you ready for the third and final story?
Yes, I am.
In the heart of Wisconsin, where the rolling hills meet dense forest, there exists a legend that has both intrigued and terrified locals for decades. This is the story of the Beast of Bray Road, a cryptid that prowls the darkened byways near Elkhorn, Walworth County. The story of the beast began in 1936, when the first reports surfaced. Witnesses described a wolf-like creature standing between 6 to 7 feet tall, with a humanoid body covered in fur. Its head bore the unmistakable features of a wolf, complete with glowing red or orange eyes. Some accounts even claimed it moved both as a quadruped and a biped. As the years passed, more sightings emerged in the 1980s and 90s. The beast allegedly made contact with vehicles, leaving long scratch marks on doors and trunks. Local newspaper reporter Linda Godfrey was initially sceptical, but soon became convinced of the sincerity of many witnesses. Her series of articles culminated in the book titled The Beast of Bray Road, Tailing Wisconsin's Werewolf. My mother was driving home from a concert in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. The route led them down Bray Road towards my aunt's house. As they drove, an unexpected force slammed into the side of their vehicle. Startled, my mum glanced in the rearview mirror to assess the situation. What she saw left her breathless. Fur, teeth, and a massive creature, a werewolf, chasing their car. The beast lunged at my mother's little red Toyota hatchback, seemingly convinced it could take on the entire vehicle. In the back seat, my aunt cried out in fear. My mother's instincts kicked in. She floored the gas pedal, and the chase began. The werewolf kept pace, its eyes fixed on the car, until they reached about 60 miles an hour. Then, with a sudden veer, it disappeared into the woods at a sharp 45-degree angle, leaving my family shaken and scared. To this day, we recount the harrowing tale of that moonlit night on Bray Road. One night, in Claiborne, Texas, it was an October night in 2016, and my girlfriend and I sat on my dad's porch sharing a cigarette. Our eyes strained to pierce the darkness, but the lack of streetlights made it really challenging to see beyond the immediate vicinity. My dad's house stood on a vast expanse of 300 acres of vacant land, home to various nocturnal creatures, wild hogs, coyotes, raccoons, and even wild turkeys that roam freely. But what we encountered that night wasn't any of these creatures. About 30 feet away, something moved stealthily through the grass. It had the grace of a coyote, but its proportions were all wrong. Standing only a foot and a half, yet stretching 7 to 10 feet tall in length, it hugged the ground, its body pressed flat. Its head turned towards us as if sizing us up, stalking us like prey. We were terrified. The creature then crawled toward a medium-sized tree, and as it slipped behind the trunk, it vanished. Could it have gone up the tree? Or did it stand upright, concealed, watching us? We didn't stick around to find out. The footsteps stopped abruptly. My girlfriend suggested grabbing a flashlight to scare it off. But my instincts screamed danger. "Are you crazy?" I snapped. "Get inside now." Later, I scoured Wikipedia, wondering what we'd encountered. The Beast of Bray Road, perhaps? Or another werewolf? We never did find out, but I'll never forget what we saw that night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I watched a documentary on the Beast of Bray Road years ago. It's a really good documentary, actually, for an independent. And I think the reporter who wrote the book is actually in it, and she says about all of the different cases. And it likes to attack cars, from what I can gather.
Cars? What, like, when they're travelling?
Yeah, so that story isn't the only one like it. On the documentary, they're, to my recollection anyway, there are lots of encounters where that beast attacks them in the dark on their way home.
So what did he do, like stand in the middle road or something?
Well, it just crawls at the car and stuff and jumps on the cars. And obviously doesn't like cars.
Yeah, well,
you have to jump the car and just walk through.
if I got a glimpse of it, then I just run it over.
Yeah, of course. Well, we know you would.
Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll catch up again soon.
We will. I'll catch up with you again on Saturday, and then Toby will be back on Monday for the main episode. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.